Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission is to equip you with answers to share the hope that you have within you, because life and truth matter. Why? Because being armed with truth will equip you to counter the corrosive worldviews at work in our world today, while experiencing the authentic Christian life will make you a winsome witness of the purpose of life, which is to experience union with God and Christ, both for today and for all eternity. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, please call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, go to our website at equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let me repeat the numbers to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. I will be taking your calls live today. I am in studio. I have been a little under the weather. I had some pretty extensive chemo treatments, and the chemo treatments knocked down my immune system to about zero, and as a result of that, I caught a viral infection, and I'm just now starting to get over that. But the great news about the chemo is my tumors are no longer visible, or the visible tumors are no longer visible, and I know that the tumors that were encroaching some of my lung capacity must have disappeared as well, because my voice is back. So all in all, I'm very grateful to the Lord's providence. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, and as Randy mentioned, our contact information on the web, equip.org, the resources available for those who support the ministry you can find on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. I did want to start the broadcast by bringing to your attention an article by Beckett Adams. And the article, which appeared in the Washington Examiner, asked the question, what does Britain's government have against Christianity and against Christians? And Beckett goes on to say that the government agency that is charged in Britain with overseeing immigration and passports has denied asylum to an Iranian Christian convert from Islam. Why? Well, they explained that their verdict is based on its assessment that Christianity is not a religion of peace and tolerance. The decision, of course, has put the Iranian national's life in grave danger, because apostasy is punishable by death in the Islamic Republic of Iran. And I visited there myself. I've spoken at the University of Tehran and Ulema Tabetaba, and I can tell you that what Beckett is saying is absolutely true. The applicant's claim he converted to Christianity was because he said it's a peaceful religion as opposed to Islam, which is not a religion of peace. But according to the Immigration and Passport Service of Britain, this is inconsistent. This is untrue. The applicant is not being forthright because they say the Bible is filled with violent themes and rhetoric, and therefore all you have to do is look at Leviticus and Exodus and Matthew, the book of Revelation, and you see that they are filled with imagery of revenge and with destruction and with death and with violence. And so again, all of this they explain in their rejection letter, and then they add, Leviticus specifically says, you will pursue your enemies and they will fall by the sword before you. Now, I want to counter that in just a moment. But first of all, to say that the Gospel of Matthew and the book of Revelation have nothing whatsoever to do with nonviolence and everything to do with violence is simply false. There is no command in the Gospel of Matthew or in the book of Revelation that commands believers to perpetuate violence. In fact, you find just the opposite. Jesus Christ commanding his followers, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. If you really know what's going on in the book of Revelation, for example, you find it's the narrative of a persecuted bride. That bride is told to be faithful and fruitful. They're going to suffer for a short time. Their vindication is going to be an eternal vindication. It's also the story of a prostituted bride, a bride that along with the Roman Empire seeks to persecute and kill and enslave Christians. So what this office of the British government is saying is decidedly false. And what they are neglecting to recognize is that the Quran is very clear. Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and those who are with him are severe against disbelievers. Why? Because from the perspective of Islamic Sharia, Jews, Christians, and pagans have always been and will always be inferior people worthy of subjugation. The choice in Islam is subjugation, shahada, or sword. In fact, Allah commands fight and slay the pagans wherever you find them. Seize them. Beleaguer them. Lie in wait for them in every stratagem of war. And contrary to Islamic Sharia, what this Office of Immigration in Britain is saying again is false, because contrary to Sharia, Mosaic law is bound by time and geography. It was for a particular people at a particular time in history. Let me put that another way. While Sharia applies to all people in all places at all times, Mosaic law has long since been abrogated. Christianity most certainly is a religion of peace. Islam most certainly is not. And I'll give you a quote of the day. It's sort of a memorable one if you want to look it up in the Quran. It comes from Quran 5, 51. And this is what Allah, the alter ego of Muhammad, says. Oh, you who have believed and are Muslims, believe in Sharia, believe in Islamic law, do not take the Jews and the Christians as friends and allies. They're friends and allies of one another. And whoever is a friend and ally to them among you, then indeed he is of them. Indeed, Allah guides not the wrongdoing people. So Muslims are told in the Quran, and by the way, according to the Quran, you have something that is uncreated and unalterable, without error, ethics beyond question, eloquence above anything the world has ever known, especially above the Bible. So the Muslims are saying this can't ever be altered. And again, the command, not the suggestion, is you should never take the Jews and Christians as friends and allies. Unalterable, forever, without error, and therefore can never be changed. So again, what the British government ought to do is check their sources. And one of the reasons I wrote a book titled Has God Spoken is to teach people how to read the Bible in the sense in which is intended, instead of this perverted sense that sets up a straw man as opposed to dealing with real arguments. Well, I spent a little more time on that than I intended, but when I come back, I will go right to the callers. A lot of you dialing in, the number 888-ASK-HANK. And do remember, you can access the information I talk about on the web at equip.org, available for those who support the ministry. Again, check it out at equip.org or write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And we'll be right back with answers to your questions.
The resurrection of Jesus is constantly under attack. If Christ has not risen, our faith is futile. And a culture critical of our faith well understands that. The physical resurrection of Christ is the incontestable cornerstone of Christianity, making a persuasive, reasoned defense of that event's historicity the essential of all apologetic essentials. Resurrection by Hank Hanegraaff clearly communicates the evidence and implications of the resurrection, and it does so using a memorable method to equip Christians to defend the very fabric of our faith. To receive your copy of Resurrection, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org. In addition to Resurrection, Hank will include an excerpt of his forthcoming book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. This then is the climax of divine revelation, God with us. The infinite has progressively revealed himself in accordance with our finitude. Thus, prior to Emmanuel, general and special revelation revealed his glory. But in the incarnation, we have seen his glory. Thus writes Hank Hanegraaff in his book, Incarnation, the Ultimate Self-Revelation of God. In short, God's incarnation in human flesh is the apex of revelation, his last word. In taking on human flesh, God gives us more than the clearest image of who he is. He gives us himself. To receive your copy of Incarnation as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And let's go right to our callers, Marie in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, listening on KARI. Hi, Marie.
Hi. I was wondering, does the Orthodox Church practice intercession of prayers through the saints in the same way that the Catholic Church does? And if it does, how is it biblically supported?
Yeah, I don't think either the Orthodox or the Roman Catholics pray to saints. They call upon the prayers of departed saints who are with Christ for intercession. And that's all on account of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the veil between this world and the world to come is a vapor thin, meaning that we are united with the great cloud of witnesses that urge us on. The great cloud of witnesses that we read about in Hebrews chapter 12, and of course depicted in great detail in Hebrews chapter 11. So just as I would ask you to pray for me, since I have stage 4 mantle cell lymphoma, I would ask those who have gone on before to intercede before the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for me. So again, it's not praying to the saints, but it's praying that the saints are praying for us, quite frankly, and why not? Again, many, many Christians pray for me, and I don't think those Christians have to be relegated to this time-space continuum.
Huh. So is it unbiblical to, I guess, speak to people who've died in general?
Well, people who have died continue to exist. They don't have awareness. In other words, they don't have extension in space, but they do have awareness. They have awareness of one another. They have awareness in the presence of the Lord. We see this when we look at the parable that Jesus spoke about with respect to the rich man and Lazarus. Both had awareness. In fact, the rich man was aware of his brothers, and he wanted to make sure that those brothers didn't come to the same same destruction that he himself was facing. And so he wanted, of course, to send the beggar back to the earth so that he could warn his brothers that they would not come to a place like this. So Lazarus the beggar, of course, was not sent, and the reason was they have Moses and the prophets. If they don't believe that, they won't believe even if someone rises from the dead. So we have a great example there of people being aware of what's going on in the presence of the Lord, and certainly we can make a logical deduction that they would know what's going on the earth as well. I don't see anything really valuable in Scripture to counter that. I used to have arguments to counter that, but quite frankly, as I've looked at it, the arguments were quite paper thin.
Okay, that's good food for thought. Thank you very much.
You got it. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Aaron in Seattle, Washington, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Aaron.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I'd really like for you to talk to the biblical view of work. I have a couple of brothers who really are day-to-day financially, paycheck to paycheck, and they seem to really lean towards the scripture that says, don't worry about tomorrow, God will provide, he feeds the sparrow, so on and so forth. And I'm trying to reconcile, those pieces of scripture with, say, Proverbs 16:9, a man determines his path, but the Lord determines his steps, and, you know, work as if you're working for God and not man. And so I'm really wondering a good message to talk to my brothers about, as, you know, again, they're really choosing to be day-to-day, paycheck to paycheck, and really, you know, not providing for their families in the capacity that they could.
Yeah, and the Proverbs also say that, don't they? A good man provides for his children and his children's children. So I don't think that in this world that we ever can get away from being productive. We are called to use our time and our talents and our treasure for his glory and for the extension of his kingdom. And if we don't, Jesus is a parable, of course, that we're all familiar with, that lets us know just how sinful it is to take our talent and bury it in the ground, as opposed to taking our talents and multiplying them for the sake of the kingdom and for the sake of people who are in need. So we have very, very clear instruction in scriptures that we're not supposed to just live for the day. We are to provide as Christians for the needs of the world. How can you give to those who are in need if you yourself are in need? A rich man can help a poor man, but a poor man can't help another poor man. So we ought to work using our talents. And then whether we're rich or poor, is as you pointed out in the Proverbs, I mean, it's ultimately that the Lord, we will choose our path, but he's directing our steps. So whatever we have, we will have sufficient for what God has called us to do. I often think of what, I think it was Charles Haddon Spurgeon who said, the old covenant was a covenant of prosperity. The new covenant is a covenant of adversity whereby we're being weaned from the present world and made meet for the world to come. So yes, the whole idea is we want not to hold on to riches tightly. We want to hold them with an open hand so that God can take out and put in as he sees fit. And so those riches can be used for the good of this world. And we will be accountable for what we did with what we had in that sense. And, you know, when I think about that, it's always alarming to me. It always gives me a gut check. What am I doing to help those that are in need? And is what I'm now doing sufficient? Because the Lord has strong words for those who hoard up wealth for themselves. You know, the rich man who says, you're not going to be able to build some bigger barns to store all my produce and all my wealth and so forth. And the Lord says, what a fool, this day your soul will be required of you. And then who will receive what you had? So, again, I think the whole idea of just living for today is an idea that doesn't have any basis in Scripture. We have to use our talents, and you know, when we go, hopefully what we have left will be used in turn, the legacy of our children, the legacy of our resources for his glory and for the extension of his kingdom.
That's very helpful. Hank, thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Alberto in Savannah, Georgia. Hi.
Yes, good evening, Mr. Hanegraaff. My question is, the Bible says that Christ died for a past and present future sins. Now, if I murder somebody and Christ happened to come right that every moment, even though I had time to repent from that sin, but Christ would have died for my past and future sin, would I still go to heaven? But the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 18 through 22, we say those who practice, they should not have the kingdom of God. But the Bible says also, another verse says that he who commits a murder should not inherit the kingdom of God. So is it practicing it or committing a one-time murder, would both consider me not to enter God's kingdom, even though Christ died for our past and present future sins?
Well, the beauty is that all the sins that we commit in this life can be forgiven. It is something that is beyond all comprehension, but it is true. If we genuinely confess our sins, he is faithful and just. He will forgive our sins, and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we say we have no sin, well, then we have a disposition that displeases the Lord, and that disposition means that we will not be forgiven, either in this life or in the life to come. And God very perfectly sees our heart. We look at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. So he knows whether someone is genuinely repentant of their sins. And all of us have thought in sinful ways. We sin in thought, word, and deed, and therefore we confess our sins. Those that are voluntary, involuntary, word, deed, known, unknown, we confess our sins. And the great thing is we ought to do that every single day. And I can tell you without contradiction that I do that multiple times every day. I do it when I wake up. I do it when I go to bed at night. If I take a nap, I do it. And I do it all under the rubric of the Lord's Prayer, which teaches us to do that very thing. So confession is critical, and if we truly confess, God will forgive us. Now, there are consequences to sin, as we see with David, and those consequences follow inexorably like night follows day. So we can't sin with impunity as though there are no consequences. Of course, there are. I'm going to have to leave it at that, unfortunately. Sorry to all the people I didn't get to. I'll be here tomorrow, Lord willing, to answer more of your questions. Do remember, this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you, and I'm deeply grateful to all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. You can give them a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. So long for now.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.